happening with the pump fake and one dribble inside to the long two, and he makes it. That's been his game his whole career. But look at him smiling. We go, my bad. The long two. My bad.
Welcome to another episode of The Long Two. I am Pete Rogers. He is Natty Wallach, and we are the least efficient fantasy basketball podcast you'll ever hear, but we get the job done. Natty, you ready to rank some small forwards?
Let's do it.
Yeah, I figured we'd jump right into it so that when we do tend to wander or give our long ramblings, at least we're talking about basketball and we're in and amongst the weeds and getting people in and deep into the podcast rather than having them wade through 5 minutes of us rambling before we actually talk fantasy.
That's some good self-scouting right there. I appreciate that. Well,
that's
done.
That's what I'm here for. So we've been slowly making our way through every positional rankings. We have point guard, we did small shooting guards, and now we are on to the men in the middle, the small forwards. Natty, we'll start with you. Who is your fifth small forward for this year in fantasy?
As we say at the top of all of these, this was really hard.
This one especially, just because I felt like there's not that much depth there. It's kind of like the top guys, and if you don't like the top guys, then it's kind of like a crapshoot as to who you're filling that spot with.
Yeah, I think everybody from seven on down are the fun ones, because if you hit and they pop, like you said, then you get to feel so cool.
Right.
It's more fun to be right, you know, with a bet than it is to be like, oh yeah, I got Steph Curry. Oh, was he good?
Right. Exactly. I was looking at all of the, like the seven through 15. And I was like, man, can we just talk about these guys? Like, fuck the top five. Everyone knows who the top five are. Let's talk about someone more interesting, but we gotta, give the people what they want.
Hard choices, man. That's what we're here for, you know?
And we're here to make them for you so that you don't have to. And then that way, if they fail, you have someone to blame other than yourself.
And I will go blameless with this because I am putting my money where my mouth is. Chris Middleton is my number five.
Holy shit. All right.
Yeah. Yeah. He was 43rd in points per game last year, but that was with more options on the team. I just think that he's going to jump in value because the small increments in amounts of shots and just possessions that he'll be a part of he was one of only a few players that had stat lines that, and all of the other ones were top five players basically. And he had the lowest amount of shot attempts. So I just think that small improvements and more, just three more attempts per game will make him fantasy gold.
Yeah. I mean, my number five is Tobias Harris, who we've talked about on this podcast. And I think both of these guys are similar narratives in just the fact that, like, if they get that uptick, they've shown good propensity in the offensive side of things. And if they get that uptick in usage, that's enough to push them into a top five at the position.
Absolutely. Toby was 33rd in points per game last year, and he will have more opportunities now because JJ Redick is gone and Jimmy Butler is gone. He's going to be the outside scoring threat on that team, and they are going to need him.
Yeah.
So he's, damn it, you're probably right, Pete, but
I was surprised. I was surprised that you not to hear Toby as your number five at the very least, given your Pistons fandom, given just your Tobias love.
Yeah, and the perfect fit on that team, fantasy-wise. Yeah. I will say that I had Chris, Toby, and another player as my 5, 6, 7, and I kept going back and forth on them, and finally just settled on Chris with a K. You know, let's believe. Yeah. Go Bucks.
No, there's nothing, and nothing wrong with that, because I also think that you could see a world in which the teams, after watching a full year of this Bucks offense, right, start keying in more on Giannis, and or just that, or NBA adapting to figuring out how to guard Giannis better, and then so that's putting the emphasis on players around him to start doing a little bit more than just kind of being pieces around the three-point line for him to dish to. And if that does happen, Chris Middleton is going to be the one who gets that who's the first one to get that uptick in that offense. So I wouldn't be surprised for him to to put together a really nice season, just like I wouldn't be surprised for Tobias Harris to put together a really nice season playing along Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid, and what we said, no J.J. Redick, there's no Jimmy Buckets, and so suddenly now he's the incumbent third guy. And honestly, I would say they're number two scoring option behind, I mean, I don't know, like who is that number one guy? Like, obviously you're going to have the ball always in Ben Simmons's hand and you're going to want to get Joel involved in the post, but like I feel like they haven't had the like that go-to can create a shot for himself guy, and that's Tobias. And so the question is just like, I'm curious to see in this Sixers offense as to how it all meshes together.
I think the team will probably go as Al Horford goes. And if he's the sort of big man distributor that takes over the spot that Ben Simmons would usually occupy.
Because Ben Simmons is such a good shooter that he doesn't need the ball in his hand.
You know what? That's true until it isn't. And there's going to be one of these years where he just starts shooting, you know, like 35% or whatever, and it's not going to be a big deal anymore.
We're going to make fun of him until he starts doing that. And
absolutely,
he has shown no willingness to start doing that. So I don't foresee this future coming at us lickety split.
I mean, go green, go Stuns.
Go green. I'm being unbiased here. Dr. Pete in the house.
I just don't think that it matters that much because Philly was so good last year.
Yeah.
And they'll be better this year, or I think that there will be improvement from the players. Maybe overall as a team, they won't be as good. Jimmy Butler's really, really good, and he was their closer. And now I don't really know who that is. You know, the last 2 minutes in Philly games are going to be pretty interesting. So I think you're just going to have to feed and beat.
Yeah.
So, but who knows? The NBA changes fast, and you know, if Simmons comes in with a workable jumper, then everything changes like that.
Yeah. I mean, if Simmons has any kind of reliable jump shot, he is rocketing to the ranks of, I mean, he's the top of every fantasy list. He's suddenly now the guy, unquestioned offensive scorer on that team. We haven't seen it yet. We talked ourselves into this. Not a corner, because a corner means that you're trapped. We've talked ourselves into this hammock of Tobias Harris, and I'm comfortably laying in it. So I'm here for it.
That's Toby all over, man. You know, just grab a drink, sit down, have a good time. It's going to be great.
That's a good man. All right. Small forward number four. I have LeBron James here. I think that this is not going to, I mean, I think he's going to return with a vengeance, and the Lakers will be a good team and everything will mesh more or less pretty well. And I'm not expecting like a giant collapse from him or LA. I'm not sure that he is going to be his usual self, what we've seen so far, where you can just kind of chalk him up to being, all right, he's the best small forward / power forward in fantasy. I don't think that rings true anymore, especially since he's probably going to be on a play count for at least the first half of the season, I'd have to think, so that he has enough energy to make a deep playoff run, if that's what it comes to.
Even if he lost 4 points off his points per game, he'd still be top 20 in scoring. So he can take a step back and still be hella valuable.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to take it. I don't believe all this AD for MVP bullshit at all. I think this is LeBron coming back, and it's going to be like MJ, and he's just going to be furious. He's had his longest rest ever. Speaking about, you know, load management, he's said before that it doesn't really work for him to sit out too much because his back tightens up. Mm. Like, he plays to stay loose. I sort of wonder about the necessity of him playing as opposed to last year. Strangely, I think maybe this roster's a little bit better, or at least more able to withstand him not playing.
Right.
And we should remember, when he got injured last year, the Lakers were, I think, the 4 seed in the West. Mm-hmm. So when he plays, they're good. It doesn't really matter who's around him. We know that.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, maybe he scores less per game and maybe some other things go up. If the worst happens and he's load managed and he really takes a backseat to AD, he's still going to be top 20 in scoring. I have absolutely no doubt of that.
No, and maybe I should have clarified. Like my clearly 4 through 1 are all very close together, right?
Right. Yeah. Totally. These could stay like, the same, and everyone else just gets better. And it's right. Like, okay.
I'm not saying LeBron's going to suddenly be not LeBron. I agree with you that he could come back and just be like, hey, I've had this year off of basketball. I'm now just about to show remind everyone how good I can be, which would be scary and terrifying. But I also think that there are, on my list at the very least, 3 guys who could put up better numbers than him in a very close race for who's the number one fantasy guy at that position.
Sure. Also, you know, devil's advocate, he's had all this time off. Maybe he'll be rusty. What does a rusty LeBron look like?
Still goes for like, I don't know, 20 and 10.
Yeah. Still one of the best players that you'll ever see. But
maybe now he's top 25 instead of top 10.
Right. Yeah, exactly. That's the thing, is that LeBron is still, to have a cataclysmic fall would be more shocking than anything else.
Oh,
he's one of the safer players you can choose. And he's my second small forward. So okay. I'm all in on LeBron. I just think that this AD stuff is ridiculous. I think AD needs to be load managed more than LeBron does.
Oh, that I agree with. I'm not buying any of the AD for MVP or AD. It should be your number one pick in fantasy if you're doing redraft leagues. I don't believe any of that crap. I just think that it'll be an offense where you're going to have 2 stars. And that might bring LeBron down a little bit, and we haven't seen him play for a while, and I just don't think that he is going to be a lock for that number one position anymore, especially with some of the guys who I'm sure we'll get to. But enough about me. Who is your 4?
My 4 is DeMar DeRozan.
I should have known.
Dude. Oh, yeah, man. 23rd points per game last year, by the way. No big deal.
No, baby.
Yeah, not shooting threes. Doesn't need to. He's an old school kind of player.
Hey, man, he is the official spokesperson for this podcast. He and Carmelo, let's be honest.
Dude, like, they're only inefficient if you miss them, you know?
And God damn it, we don't miss.
Yeah, and he does that with another mid-range shooter in LaMarcus Aldridge. The Spurs are just so goddamn weird, man. They really are. It is so bizarre. It's all guards this year, and they're going to have to shoot more threes, but they were really loath to do that. I think their defense is going to be absolutely stifling. I don't know how good they'll be when facing off against all these teams with giants, but I can't really see a world where DeMar's shots go down, and he is who he is. Like, he gets these points going up against anybody shooting the way that he does. He gives you a lot of other good things too. You know, he gives you boards, he gives you assists. I think this is just one more year in a Spurs system that is designed to maximize his value. And I really think he's going to have a great, great year.
Yeah, he was one of the guys who, I mean, he was probably closest to Tobias Harris, who I was debating at 5. And for all the reasons that you pointed to, he's a stat sheet stuffer who scores, can get buckets, and a second year in the Spurs system, whatever Pop has got planned for, like, I trust Pop to always have a plan for his team and always to put the players in there if they perform at the level that they're capable of in the best position to, you know, get buckets and make things happen. I totally buy this. I could talk myself into this. No problem.
Can I give you a stat real quick?
Hell yes, you can.
Okay. DeRozan scored 21 points per game last year, 23rd overall, and 6 assists. Do you know who else scored 21 points per game and had 6 assists per game?
Marcus Smart.
It's Luka Doncic.
Is it really? Oh, fuck yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Now how much do you love DeMar?
now I love me some. No. Again, like it's one of those things where I can speak as someone who is immersing myself more and more in the NBA. You have opinions constructed about players purely from team that they're on or past experiences with them, where maybe you're not fully in tuned with what they've done in recent years or what their numbers mean on a full NBA scale. And it's always nice to be able to break it down like that and say, okay, 21 points per game, 6 assists per game. Who else has done that? It's Luka, who we've already spent way too much. No, that's impossible. The right amount, even not enough. Right, not enough airtime on this podcast, hyping up this year. And so if you're going to give that same kind of acclaim and excitement towards Luka, some of that can be directed also to DeMar DeRozan. I will get overly excited for DeMar again this year when the Spurs trade for Kyle Lowry and reunite that duo. But until then, I'll be happy. I'll happily watch DeMar from a distance, your DeMar love from a distance. And then when Kyle Lowry and that bromance rejoins, it becomes one again in the NBA, then I'll be fully on board and I'll come join you.
I would love that so hard. Get those best friends back together. They're just so Spursy.
Oh my God. And it's just so beautiful. It's just pure friendships like that are such a glorious thing to behold in sports. And it's, you know, in this day and age where, you know, everything's bouncing around, players are moving, you have all kinds of chaos in a team construction, and maybe you get along with your teammates, but you're not like besties. God, it was so nice. Just their post-game like interviews and all that kind of stuff was just like the most adorable thing. They're like an old married couple. God, I miss them. I miss them so much.
Yeah. And they would talk shit about analytics, being like, oh, they don't like your shots. It's great.
I mean, that was always the best, is they would always talk to DeMar and they'd be like, DeMar, have you ever thought about shooting 3-pointers? Kyle Lowry's like, oh, DeMar. And they all on to you.
Yeah, DeMar averaged 0.6 3-point attempts last year, and he still scored over 20 points a game. He scored more than Nikola Jokic. He scored more than CJ McCollum. He scored more than Toby. So,
yeah,
DeMar does it in his own way, and it's fucking awesome. And I think he's just going to be 30 this year. Yeah, he'll be 30 this year. So there's plenty of more time for DeMar, and he's perfect for that team as it's constructed right now.
Yeah. No, I'm we're very good at convincing each other about the player we're talking about. This is why we're a great podcast. We're a great duo. Your third,
right. We're both wrong. Right.
Oh shit. Who do you listen to? Your third small forward this year in fantasy.
My third is Mr. Buckets himself, Jimmy Butler. I think he is going to be incredible. And I know that he's been a two a lot, but he's listed as the starting small forward for the Miami Heat. The last Bulls year for him, he averaged 24 points per game, 6 rebounds, and 5 assists. That's basically Blake Griffin's numbers last year. And, like, why the hell couldn't Jimmy do it or better than that this year? That's his team. He's in charge.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, we'll bounce to my two because Jimmy Buckets is my two, is my second nice. Small forward this year. And we've talked about this narrative, and I'm going to live and die on this narrative. This is the Jimmy Buckets, fuck you, this is my team, watch what I can do season. Like, this is the year where he fought himself off of Minnesota, because Minnesota is a garbage organization, so I can understand that. And wanting his own team where he's not competing with Cat, who's, you know, that young superstar who the fan base is already going to, you know, be pivoted around. So then he goes to Philly to try to, like, team up and win himself a championship, which I fully respect. But then that's a team where you're dealing with already, you know, a superstar conundrum where it's like Ben Simmons or Joel Embiid. And Jimmy Buckets is like, all right, I want to get in the fucking middle of this. And now he's in Miami. First of all, top five jersey in the league. Can we say that? Oh. Is that fair?
I like both the regular ones and the, like, Miami Knights, like, pink
the Miami
ones.
Vice jerseys are fly. Yeah. So fly.
Yeah, those things, it's cool.
Oh my God, those might be the best alternative jerseys in professional sports.
They're pretty goddamn good.
We're gonna have our non-existent producer write down this in the notes that we'll have a podcast where we rank the best jerseys of the NBA.
Sure, Pistons are number one.
Oh, clearly. Yeah, definitely. Cool. Right. Definitely. So anyway, that's a plus right there. But I agree. Like, he is going to come in there. He's going to be like, okay, look, you all have forgotten about just how good I was in Chicago and just what I can do on a basketball court. And he's going to prove that this year. He's going to just go full fuck you mode. It's going to be stats on stats on stats on stats as he carries this Heat team as far as his body can physically take him.
Absolutely. I think they're a playoff team, no doubt. I think they'll probably make a trade. I'd also like to say that Jimmy went from Chicago to Minnesota to Philly to Miami. He is not going to have to withstand shitty winters anymore. Like, he's in a spot where everything's awesome all of the time, outside of hurricanes, obviously.
Yeah.
But he's just in, like, he won so hard.
Yeah.
And people still don't respect him. So I just, like we've said before, this is a year of pissed off players, and he's got to be top five in pissed off players. I can't wait to watch. And I think they'll just absolutely dominate that division.
Oh, my God. I mean, who in there is going to even give them a run for their money?
The only other team is maybe Orlando, and I'm not as high on Orlando as some people are. I don't think they're a playoff team this year.
Yeah, unless Aaron Gordon just goes super sane. He was someone I like flirted. I would not say top five, but I was flirting with the notion of like Aaron Gordon being a breathing in the top five at whatever position you want to play him, small forward, power forward, this year in fantasy. Just being like, oh, I mean, like, there is a narrative that you could construct where he just goes, takes that huge next step and just becomes, you know, an all-around NBA master. But I couldn't muster up the courage to put him in my top five this week.
I mean, if everything clicks, then he could be sensational. And he's still 24 or 25. I said before that I think the Orlando Magic need to figure out what he is in order to know what their team is. But I also think that Jonathan Isaac, their other wing, is going to be really important for Aaron Gordon's game this year, because Isaac's still raw, but you can tell that he's pretty good, or that he could be really good. And the way those two wings operate together, if they can operate together, will be very interesting to watch, and will probably, you know, show whether the Orlando Magic can make the playoffs or not.
Exactly. Okay, so Jimmy Buckets is your three. He's my two. So my three, I have Kawhi Leonard as my three. The only reason that he's bumped down this much from a two or a one position is just because of injuries and just figuring out what exactly. I thought that the Raptors set the blueprint of how to play him during the regular season so that he is fresh and can just become the best player in the NBA during the playoffs. I wouldn't be surprised if the Clippers utilize some sort of similar load management. And so because of that, he's not going to play, you know, all 82 games or even maybe 70 games to give you consistent fantasy production, but he's still going to be phenomenal, and he's still going to get you, he's going to get you defense, which Jimmy Buckets also gets you, but you know, he does that at a super elite level. He's going to get you rebounds, assists, and obviously he's going to get you points.
No, I was thinking about this, and Kawhi's my number one, because it occurred to me, what if Kawhi's one of the pissed off players? Like, he just won another ring and he's incredible, and everyone's saying he's the best player in the world, but they're also saying, yo, he's not even going to play like 65 games, man. Like, maybe he's good, but who cares if you can't get volume out of him? What if he comes in and he plays 75? What if he comes in and plays 80? What if, you know, the injury that he has had to manage the past couple of years is finally healed? What if he's like Justin Verlander after his oblique surgery and, you know, it took two seasons to get healthy? Also, Paul George, his running mate, isn't going to be back until the winter. And even when he does come back, it's probably going to take him 20 or so games to get NBA fit. So it's going to be 40 games or so until Paul George is Paul George at the best, probably. That means that Kawhi is going to have to play more earlier in the season because the Clippers can't get into a hole.
Yeah.
The West is too deep. Like, you can't, I don't even know if you can go five games back with some of these teams. You have to be able to stay steady through the race. I think it's really important for the Clippers and the Lakers to both sort of be not more than four games back, just because you can see how a hole can just, it, like, if you go on a seven game really tough run against teams that are all in the West, then you'll just plummet, and then you'll have to play every single game just to try to get your head back above water. So I wonder if maybe Kawhi will play more earlier in the season, and then when PG-13 is back, maybe he can, you know, take his foot off the gas.
Yeah, no,
so he's my number one. I like
That's God damn it. Just like what we said. I mean, that's a good narrative. That's a great narrative, especially around Paul George being out and then not being able to kind of play fewer games to start the season, but having to start off with a bang. I mean, granted, I do think that the Clippers, because they built this team 100% correctly, have the depth. I mean, clearly they are basically returning the same team that they had last year. So we know that that team can put wins on the table. And so I don't think it's going to be 100% necessary. Like, it's not going to be something where it's like, if you took this about the Lakers, right? And let's say AD had a similar thing as PG-13 and he was out for the first, you know, month and then took 20 some odd games in order to get back into shape. So, you know, the first 2 to 3 months, AD was kind of out. LeBron would have to play those games, right? Because the Lakers couldn't not play LeBron and still stay in the West. Whereas I think the Clippers could not play Kawhi as much as they possibly needed to and still stay in the West simply because of how deep that team is and how good that team is already to begin with. But you are right. You are right that there is a line here, a path for Kawhi to start this season off basically looking like how he finished last season and being, you know, within 2 months of the league, everyone just being like, oh, so postseason Kawhi Leonard is just now regular season Kawhi Leonard. This is cool.
It's three years to go.
Right. And if you have him on your fantasy team, you are sitting pretty. Yeah.
Dude, counter argument that everyone should be making is the Clippers still fucking have Lou Williams and Trez Harrell, and they did great without these guys last year. So
this team is so goddamn deep. It's absurd.
Yeah. And they'll probably make some kind of a trade. Like, I don't think this is the team that will go into the playoffs. I think they'll have somebody else. And it's a really well-constructed team. They did a great job.
They really, and again, like what we were, I mean, when we were talking last week about player movement and all that kind of stuff, like the Clippers are a perfect example of doing it right. They built a team from the ground up with players and a good environment and a good system with a good owner and good coach, a place that people wanted to come and play. And so when they had their success and they had superstar free agents, Kawhi was like, oh, guess what? I'm coming to LA because of the system you've constructed, because it's, you know, it's his hometown, right? He's from LA. Question mark?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah, I think so. So that's that part of the draw too. But like, you know, I'm picking you over the Lakers because of this. And then you were able to get Paul George out of OKC after signing a massive contract saying, I'm never going to leave OKC in order to come to the Clippers. So an example, Steve Ballmer, example of good team construction and how you build a winning environment where you can actually attract players as opposed to having them all flee.
Also, Doc Rivers is a better coach than Frank Vogel or Jason Kidd. And he's been in this situation before. I mean, this is Ubuntu West.
Yeah.
They just need, you know, I guess maybe they have Trez Harrell. So, but if they had a really destructive interior defender, it would look just exactly like the goddamn Celtics. So
who says Montrezl Harrell isn't Kendrick Perkins, baby?
Yeah, sure. Totally. It is a team designed to do well in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Especially because they have like the 2 6th men of the year award nominees last year. It's just, Doc knows what he's doing. Yeah. He knows how to play against the other good teams in the West. And, it's hard to believe that a team with a healthy Kawhi and a healthy Paul George can't get to a Western Conference Finals, no matter what.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, you could put that on any team and they would take it to the Conference Finals, let alone a team that already was basically flirting with that last year and had returning more or less the same team. Okay, so your whole list is done then. The only reason I had Kawhi at 3 was injury risk and load management. Jimmy buckets too. I picked Giannis as a small forward. I don't know whatever you're going to play him as. I was contemplating sending you a message right before this being like, maybe we just say top 5 forwards since, you know, there are all these guys basically play every position. But I figured after my Luka debacle last week, I would make sure I put Giannis at the first position he was viable for. So yeah, I feel like there's no reason to like defend my Giannis pick. It's Giannis. He's whatever position you want to play him as, he's going to be the best at that position this year.
Dude, I don't even have him ranked top 5 at any position, so don't feel bad.
Get out of town.
I mean, he's an example of the new NBA in that it doesn't really matter what position he's listed as, his job will be the same. Right. Similar with LeBron, like LeBron's going to be the point guard for big stretches of the year, but he's not going, that won't be his title, you know? So there's focusing on this too much, like we said last time, is sort of vestigial. Like in a few years, we probably won't think about it this way. We'll always have the position names. I mean, and there will always be like pure twos. Like some dudes just can't distribute, but they're, you know, So,
Buddy Hield, the Buddy Hields of the world.
Yeah, sure. Who's somehow like 2 years older than we thought he was. But,
how old's Thon Maker? Did we ever figure that out?
I have absolutely no idea. I thought he was going to be so good.
I thought so too. All right. Sorry. I didn't mean to throw you off track.
No, that's cool. It's, the thing that I thought about when ranking all of these guys, Giannis included, is that we are jam stuffed with really elite wings right now. And it drops off after seven. But, you know, like if I think that Gordon Hayward is going to have a good year, then why isn't he going to be better than Chris Middleton?
Right.
And, you know, Gordon Hayward might be the two or whatever, Tatum. But he's a wing.
Let's talk about our Celtics.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. It's like, I do think that those guys and like Bojan Bogdanović and Joe Ingles out west in Utah, like some of these guys are they're technically the same position, and when teams, you know, go small, they'll both be out there and one of them will have to be the power forward, but these guys are going to be playing together a lot, and it's all going to look like, you know, LeBron's out there. Like everybody's going to be 6'7" to 6'9" with really long arms, and everyone can shoot and everyone can pass and everyone can get rebounds. And so like Danilo Gallinari, I think, is going to have a really good year, but I couldn't put him in the top five, even though I mean, he'll be a 20 point per game scorer. Like he was 36th overall last year. Yeah. He scored 19.8 points per game last year. Like why can't he,
Can't he do 20? Yeah, I think the biggest thing that came out of doing this is just the fact that the names, you know, right? There seem to be more than likely four guys in this forward position: LeBron, Kawhi. I think we both think Jimmy Buckets and Giannis, who are going to be all vying for tops in the league, possible MVP seasons, that whole nine yards, and then everyone behind that. There is a case to be made for them being a top six, top five fantasy player at the position. Like, I think you can take that from five all the way down to like 15. Like this is a very deep class of players at this position. It's a very deep position in fantasy in that. And I think you can get a lot of value deeper in drafts where you can get these guys who are, you know, Joe Ingles, who is someone who was like populating waiver wires all last year, and was still a very viable fantasy player and could get you a ton of production. And so I think you're going to get a lot of that from this position. And there's going to be those four elite guys, and if you miss out on those four elite guys, then take who you want. You know that there's no wrong choice after them to a certain extent.
And to, you know, go back to Tatum, this is year three. If he has a similar like breakout year three to a bunch of other people in the past, why can't he be a top five wing? He, you know, we all think that he should be eventually. Maybe this is the year it starts.
Yeah. Who says no? All right. Before we go on, since there actually was a little bit of preseason basketball, and preseason basketball is right around the corner, we're going to talk some of that. But before we go on to that, we're going to take a quick ad break. All right, we are back, and we're going to talk preseason basketball because it's here. I mean, basketball starts in what, a month? Less than a month? We're in October.
Yeah, I think the 22nd is the first game, maybe.
So we are. It's just around the corner. We had our first preseason game. The Rockets took on some team in China and blew them out handedly.
Gasp.
Can't say that was too much of a shocker. But we figured we would kind of talk about the storylines that we are paying attention to this preseason. And because, you know, I think preseason basketball is fun to tune into, but it's certainly not NBA level games. But it's a time where you start getting to see what these teams could look like, what these players could look like, and what these roles could be. So, Natty, what is a storyline that you're going to be paying attention to this preseason?
Well, I should say that preseason is always bullshit and that the storyline, like, everyone's always in good shape and, you know, everyone's going to have a good year and everyone's going to be undefeated before the actual season starts.
Of course.
Having said that, there was so much movement this year that it's just interesting to see new faces in new places and how people interact with each other. Like, who the fuck didn't want to see how Westbrook and Harden would play together, you know? I'm, you know, interested in how both LA teams look. I am so, like, I sort of know how LeBron and AD are going to play together, but I'm interested to see how the satellites around them will play. Avery Bradley is getting some buzz, but I've read that bedtime story before as a Pistons fan, but he's a great defender. Seeing who they actually choose as the starters around them will be fascinating, because Dwight Howard beating JaVale McGee is an NBA nerd's kind of, you know,
yes, like, it's happening.
Yeah. It's
trust just, it, believe like, it, live in it.
It's just so funny to think about both those players and like JaVale got him there. And I just can't wait to see what that team ends up looking like, because I think it's going to be really, really funny. And then the Clippers are just a fun team, and now they have fucking Kawhi. No. So,
yeah. No, I totally agree with you. And just like what you were saying about just looking at chemistry and how new faces and new places work, obviously I'm going to take this opportunity to talk about my Boston Celtics, because,
sure,
I mean, the thing that you heard throughout Celtics Media Day was like, you know, turning a page, new steps, taking, you know, shedding the past. And so I want to see that happen. I want to see what this team looks like with Kemba, without Kyrie, with all of these rookies that they've brought in. I mean, God damn it. I need me some Taco Fall in my life constantly and regularly. But
everybody loves all your centers.
They do.
Cantor, Time Lord,
they're all
Taco.
Great.
Yeah.
But like, how are they going to play? What is that minute allocation going to look like? What is their starting lineup going to be? Are you going to start Jalen and Jason? Are you going to start Marcus and have one of those two guys come off the bench? Like, what is this lineup going to look like? What is this team going to look like? What is this offense going to be? What does Brad have schemed and planned? The whole nine yards, because I think that there is a lot of potential, a lot of fantasy potential, right, in this offense on this team. And if we can start getting hints at what we can maybe expect in terms of production, that could be really good to know going into the season. Are we going to get a Jaylen Brown, like, contract year, pay me max contract, even though you don't think I'm worth it money kind of season? Let's start seeing that in the preseason so that I know that I need to drop everything and get him onto my teams ASAP, which I probably will anyways. Though I can't say I'm too much of a fan of the fact that he shaved his high top. That is very weird to look at. I'm still not used to seeing his shaved head. Very weird.
I feel really bad for you. I know how haircuts can affect people. It's, you know, it's a terrible tragedy.
It's really just the worst. I'm still recovering. I don't know if I ever will fully come to grips with it.
It's like when Melo got rid of his dreads.
Oh man, poor stuff for that day.
I think that the Boston season sort of depends on who starts at the two, whether it's Jalen or whether it's Marcus Smart. I think that it probably makes more sense to start Jalen, at least at the start of the year, because you have to give him the opportunity to show what he is.
Right. You have to know what he's going to be.
Yeah,
this year.
And if it doesn't work out, then fine. You can trade him, you can do whatever, or you can just, you know, put him on the bench and maybe he'll blossom there as more of a sixth man. But if you're not going to give him that opportunity, then why is he on your team? Just trade him, you know, is he an insurance policy for Marcus Smart getting injured? Fuck that. Like, if he's not going to be a major part of your future, then you should probably get rid of him sooner than later, just so that, you know, he doesn't have to be pissed and embarrassed.
Yeah.
Also, and there's a ton of other teams that would want him, including mine.
I like Marcus coming off the bench too, because he brings energy and defense to that second line. And then you're rested enough to give him minutes in the fourth quarter when crunch time happens. What's another thing you're paying attention to this preseason?
I am very interested in the Denver Nuggets and how Jeremy Grant is going to look on that team. We're big fans of his here. I think he's a pretty good player who hasn't been, you know, given that many opportunities. I would assume that he will back up Millsap, but I think he's the heir apparent. And I think that he is perfect next to Joker. It is, when those two are out on the floor, I think they're going to go fast, fast, fast. And I'm just really excited about seeing him take another step this year.
Yeah, no, I mean, he looked great in OKC, and you wrote a piece last season about him, how he was just kind of like quietly becoming an all-star and blossoming right before us, and putting him in this offense with someone like Joker, and in a spot where, I mean, Paul Millsap is great, don't get me wrong, but he's not exactly like a stone solid wall that's preventing Grant from getting starting minutes, you know? Like, I wouldn't be surprised if Grant replaces Paul Millsap pretty early in the season at a starting spot, or Millsap gets injured. God forbid, we don't wish injuries on anyone. And it's just fun to watch that team too, because that team is so exciting and so fun to see, and what's Joker going to do in this offense that's constructed around him with these young up-and-coming offensive players. Yeah, I'm definitely paying attention to what's happening in Denver, because they are going to be a serious contender. They can be a serious contender in the West if everything kind of breaks for them.
Dude, can I give you a Joker stat real fast?
Hell yes, you can.
Okay, last year, 8 players scored 18 points per game, shot 44% field goal, 6 rebounds per game, and had 4 assists per game. Those players are Giannis, LeBron, Kevin Durant, Blake Griffin, go Stuns, DeMar DeRozan, Chris Middleton, shout out, and fucking Joker.
Jesus, that's a list.
And Joker did that with 15 field goal attempts per game, same as Chris Middleton. Everybody else had at least 17. LeBron had 20. Also Harden, like, Jesus, yeah. Scoring more than anybody else. Right, like, he is in a tier that is filled with these super athletic wings. Meanwhile, he's a chubby center,
which is just, you know, absurd.
Yeah, and he's still a baby, and he is going to probably improve. We might be watching something really fucking crazy. Like, he's absolutely incredible, and I think that the Nuggets will get more national airtime this year because of how well they did last year and because of how fun they are. The only thing I'm worried about is that they have so many players that, maybe this will be one of the teams where they're like, yeah, we're actually going to do load management even earlier. We're going to try to keep our young guys from getting injured. We're going to try to save people's legs, especially with bigs. You know, once their feet go, it starts just to be a litany of injuries every year. But Joker is on a list of the best players in the NBA, full stop.
No, I totally agree. While you were saying that, I realized, when was the last time that Kevin Durant wasn't in a top 5 shoot, you know, small forward, power forward, forward fantasy discussion?
Since the year before he was drafted, probably.
Yeah.
I don't remember what he did on the Sonics, but
I was going through my list and I was like, oh man, I thought I was going to for sure have an easy, a freebie spot for Durant, but no, because he's recovering from that injury.
Dude, what if he's never in a top 5 again?
Oh, all right. This is a dark
subject. I don't want to think about that. It's just like, he's also not as young as I think people think Thunder players are.
That's super true.
And hopefully he won't have to do as much. But knowing Durant, he'll come back and he'll be better than ever. And, you know, he'll score 97 points per game. And
the thing, too, is that
he'll tell everyone else to sit down.
Yeah. The thing also about his game is, I feel like his game, I think, is going to transfer well when he gets older. Like, I don't feel that his game is predicated on his athleticism or his, you know, like he's big. And so that naturally plays into it, but it's not like he's beating people off the dribble with regularity or, you know, doing Russell Westbrook things where as soon as Russell Westbrook's athleticism, which we've already kind of seen his athleticism goes down, he's suddenly not as explosive a player. Like Durant is just that like silky smooth, can create space out of nothing. And because he's 7 feet with a 30-foot wingspan, his shot's unblockable. So I think that he's going to be someone who, regardless of if his athleticism takes a slight downward trend after this, I think his game is still going to age very, very nicely.
Yeah, he's like a Dirk Nowitzki who can move faster than a tree, you know? Like, yeah. he's an ant.
And play just like MVP defense.
Yeah, he's going... The odds that he is not good, you know, or even average when he come, I think are zero. Like, yeah. There's just, he's going to be a top 10 wing at the very least, I'm sure, just because of how smart he is, how he can orchestrate a game. You know, like, we've all seen Kevin Durant just sort of be the best player on the
floor. We know
what
he can do.
So
the other storyline that I have in my notes, and I literally just have three words written, those three words are, I mean, Zion. Like, I'm going to be paying attention to Zion Williams. Like, you can't not watch Zion Williamson. And you can't, especially after, since we were robbed of him in Summer League because of his ankle injury. Like, I want to see him play. I want to see this Pelicans team. I want to see all of these young players mesh together and what this offense is going to be with Zion at its helm. But mainly, like, God damn it, just give me a fuck ton of awesome dunk highlights and I will be a happy man.
Yeah, I have such high hopes for this team, even though it's going to be really, really hard to break into the playoffs. Yeah. They went 33-49 last year, and the Clippers were the eighth seed and went 48-34.
Yeah.
So that's tough.
That's tough. Did you see the interview with JJ Redick where he was talking with Zion?
Yeah, don't fuck this up.
Yeah,
for
don't
me.
Fuck this up for you. Oh God, it's incredible. Which is also like, shout out to JJ Redick for quietly making it to the postseason every year of his career.
Yeah.
Good for him.
Fuck Duke forever, and it sucks that he's this good, but he's incredible. And he just had like one of the best year, maybe the best year of his career. It is sort of telling. He chose that team over a bunch of others.
I think he knows this team, this Pelicans team. I know that it's no one's sleeping on it. Like, I think people are, anyone who has any kind of NBA knowledge has a pretty good sense that this team is like, could be a good playoff team, but like, would it shock me if this team suddenly comes out of nowhere and is like a 45 win team? No, not at all.
Dude, my man, if they played in the East, I would put $100,000 on them being at least the fifth seed. Like, I think they're better than the Indiana Pacers right now.
Oh,
and
yeah.
We haven't even seen them play. God, we really need to get rid of conferences, but there's no way that they're not going to be fun. So if your motivation to watch sports is to have a good time, then fucking watch the New Orleans Pelicans, because they are going to be fun.
I mean, I'm looking right now, like, who other than the Raptors, Sixers, and Bucks, realistically, those are the only three teams that I can like confidently say, and even maybe Raptors, I'm a little lukewarm on, but like, those are the three teams that I would be like, definitely 100% better than the Pelicans. On the East.
The Pistons, but
I mean, I left out my Boston
whatever,
Celtics. I left out my Celtics just so that you wouldn't have a leg to stand on during this argument.
Yeah, raise your hand if your team has Joe Johnson on it. Mine fucking does. Shit, yeah.
You're so
see
right.
Him in the finals.
Yeah,
that's right.
Fuck. Oh, also the Hornets.
No, I think
Pelicans.
That's really, really funny. That's mean, dude.
Sorry.
It's crazy how many teams in the West are better than the fucking bullshit in the East. Like, the Kings are better than five teams in the East.
Yes.
The Lakers. It's like the Mavericks might be better. It is irresponsible of the East to be this bad all of the time. It's just so fucking gross. Like, the Knicks, the Cavs, the Wizards, and the Hornets. That's four teams right there that are going to be butt. They are going to be dead dog ass.
And just giving away free wins to everyone else in the East.
Yeah, dude. And when the Pelicans come to visit, like, I mean, not in the Garden. There will be more Knicks fans there. But there's, I think there's a pretty good chance that Pelicans fans nation, you know, becomes a thing this year because of Zion. Mm-hmm. And because I think the team will be better. And, it, like, they're going to be a team that people will pay tickets to go to when they come to town.
Oh, definitely.
So, yeah, so that's great. I mean, they're an up-and-coming team, and if they make the playoffs, then Jesus Christ, that means one of the elite teams in the West, and I don't know who it would be, would drop out.
Yeah.
And by the way, the Lakers also didn't make the playoffs last year, so that's two teams right there that we're hoping make the playoffs, which means that one of the Warriors, Nuggets, Blazers, Rockets, Jazz, Thunder, Spurs, or Clippers can't. Jesus. Or two of those teams can't. Yeah. Yeah, who the fuck is going to fall out of that? Maybe the Thunder?
Maybe the Thunder and me. God, fuck. I was going to say maybe the Jazz, but the Jazz are fucking good.
Yeah, they're maybe the most solid team in the NBA, I think.
Oh, God,
where, like, all the pieces seem to fit together and they have everything. Yeah, I really don't know. I mean, the Lakers were the 10th seed last year at 37-45, but they were a playoff team before LeBron got injured. So yeah, that doesn't really count. And if they miss the playoffs, then, you know, then something crazy is going to happen. Or it means that something crazy did happen and someone got injured. Yeah. But it's hard to believe that they wouldn't make the playoffs if both LeBron and AD are healthy. Or right, even if just LeBron's or, healthy.
Right. Yeah,
and then we're hoping that the Pelicans make it in. And that's, like, the Spurs could drop out, I guess. But they're sort of designed to make the postseason. And they had, like, they had nine more wins than the ninth seed. So that's it's going to be incredibly tough in the West this year. The God East is it. Like, who cares, honestly?
This is why it needs to be, it needs to just be the top 16 teams, regardless of conference.
Yeah, agree.
Just give me the best 16 records and have them duke it out for the championship. And if the West
make it
always
harder,
has
right?
10 people or 11 people in it, great. Good for the fucking West.
Yeah, when I was thinking about teams that could drop out of the Eastern playoffs, it was so easy. I was like,
it's
well,
literally
shit,
everyone.
Yeah, totally. Like, Toronto might want to. The Bucks right. could, you know, fall to pieces because one person gets injured and they never should have gotten rid of Brogdon. The 76ers, it would...
The 76ers would have to, like, it would have to be a Joel Embiid punches Ben Simmons in the face. And,
yeah.
Like, the right. team just explodes from the inside.
Absolutely. I think it would also be a little bit strange if the Celtics didn't make the playoffs. I think that means that there were multiple injuries.
Yeah.
But, like, the Pacers, the Magic, the Pistons, Kyrie's face is broken right now. So maybe
already off to a great start in Brooklyn.
Yeah. Well, hey, how Brooklyn is that? He was probably at a White Castle. But I, like any of the teams, the East is just so much weaker. Jesus so much fucking weaker. Christ. Oh, well, we both think that Miami will make the playoffs, but like there's the Bulls and the Hawks, I think should, but I can see them both
but
having
the, but
really
the fucking
glaring
Pelicans
weaknesses.
Would blow either of those teams out of the water.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. It's a dumb way to do it. NBA. Any other preseason storylines you're paying attention to before we go on to fave things of the week?
Well, I had a bunch of storylines.
Oh, you sent
that
me a huge list, and I was like,
right.
fuck, Natty.
Right. But I will just go with this. Is Houston going to play faster than they did last year? Last year, they were fourth lowest in pace in the entire NBA. It's a lot of Harden dribbling. Meanwhile, they got Russ, the Sarge Westbrook, who is dynamite in transition and loves to push the pace. So I will be interested to watch how Houston changes, knowing that they have one of the best, you know, runners in the game, along with one of the best half-court players in the game. It's just going to be really interesting to watch how they sort of change tempo within, you know, not just a game, but within quarters.
Yeah. No, that'll be... Because it could be something where maybe they run slow with... Harden, they run medium with Harden and Westbrook, and then they run fast with Westbrook and try to kind of throw defenses off by changing the pace of the game depending on who's in. But you're right, Westbrook operates best when the ball, when you're moving the ball quickly and you're getting, you're driving quickly and getting the offense flowing. And Harden, I think the, I wouldn't be surprised if they speed up a little bit simply because I think a lot of the slowness to Houston's offense last year was because it was just Harden ISO ball. And yeah, that was partially out of necessity because they were just like, all right, well, Chris Paul's injured, Harden, you're our best player, just dribble the ball into the ground and shoot, you know, 70 shots. But
right. And Chris Paul is, you know, he's a very deliberate player too.
Right.
He's, like, he wants everyone where he wants them in their half court set, like, get over there. He's always yelling. That'll be, and D'Antoni is a coach that, historically has had teams run. So even though it's hurt him towards the playoffs, it's just going to be really interesting to watch how this goes.
Yeah. That team, again, another team in the West, that's going to be really exciting and really fun to watch. I mean, a lot of teams out here that are going to be fun to watch and exciting.
Yeah. Houston can't start slow again like they did last
year. No.
That happens. Yeah, for sure. It took a miracle. It took Harden being one of the best players in NBA history for about 4 months for them to really climb out of that hole, and they just can't afford to do that again.
But maybe that's how we get the Pelicans into the playoffs.
Jesus Christ. What would we do if Harden and Westbrook missed the playoffs?
That would absurd.
I don't know that the Rockets would keep the team together.
The Rockets would have to blow things up. It would just be, it would be like, all right, fuck it. We tried our best. This is it. We're going to just trade everyone and build a team around Clint Capella. I mean, I don't fucking know.
Yeah, it is. You can see how a couple of the experiments in the NBA and how, like, some of the lineups, you know that not everyone is going to succeed. So some of these teams are going to fail, which means that some of these players are going to be on the move. Speaking of the Pelicans, if they don't do well and if they're not going to make the playoffs, holy shit, did they have a lot of players they can trade.
God, it's going to be a firestorm.
Dude,
JJ Redick's going to be leading that charge so that he can get on a fucking playoff team.
Right. Yeah, exactly. JJ back in LA, the Clippers. Like, ooh, you know, it's
saucy.
Sure. Or yeah, there's a lot. I mean, depending on how D'Angelo Russell does in Golden State, like, ooh, that's a team that might be wanting to make a move. There's, New Orleans is going to strangely be like a linchpin to this NBA season, because depending on how well they do will sort of determine how the rest of the West, you know, stacks up in terms of playoff seeding. If they're good, then one of the other teams is going to drop out. And if they're bad, then maybe two or three of the other playoff teams throughout the NBA will get even better because they'll just start jettisoning players.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Awesome. Last thing, fave thing of the week, Natty, what do you want to talk about?
My fave thing of the week actually happened a week ago. The Milwaukee Bucks, one of the smallest, you know, franchises media-wise in the country, got fined for talking about extending their MVP. They broke the new tampering rules by saying, yeah, of course we're going to extend him in 2 years when he's eligible. And they got fined $50,000. It is hysterical that this is how things work. No one should have any confidence in any kind of authority, because they literally just wrote this fucking rule and it was supposed to help small market teams. And the very first time they apply it, it's against the small market team that wants to keep the best player in the fucking game. I laughed so hard when I saw that. That is absolutely hysterical. Good job, Adam Silver.
I thought you were going to talk about how somehow the Milwaukee Bucks signed Robin Lopez. And I was like, when did this happen? Because I saw them on media day, them Robin Lopez and Brooke Lopez taking pictures together. And I was like, my head exploded. I was like, when the fuck did the Lopez brothers reunite in Milwaukee?
Dude, and Brolo probably needs to get fined for tampering. He probably spoke to his brother about plans. Like, give me a fucking break, man. The tampering rule is about Kawhi calling Paul George and saying, I know you just signed your contract, but what if? That's what it's about. And Oklahoma City wanted to do that trade anyway.
Yeah.
Like, the rule is in place to protect teams like Milwaukee, and then they immediately used it against Milwaukee. It is so awesome. What a microcosm. Anyway, what's your fave thing?
My fave thing is, so baseball playoffs obviously starting, and the MLB tweeted out an ad for it, which was basically like a hype video about using old MLB footage and then, you know, superimposing current players into the old footage. And, you know, how they're talking about how these young guys are taking over the league and the league has changed, but we're still baseball, whole nine yards. Great. It's a great ad. Very much enjoyed it. But it reminded me of a much better ad that is much better job. And this is an old NBA ad, which is one of the greatest things in the world. If you have not seen it, you should go find go to YouTube, search NBA Christmas ad. And it's not the one where they're singing Jingle Bells with the basketball nets. It's this NBA ad where it's basically like, I think it's called like the Forever ad or something like that. And they just show it's the history of the NBA, but they, again, superimpose current players with old players. So you have like Michael Jordan fist bumping Derrick Rose. This was after D Rose's MVP season.
Oh yeah.
This is a long time ago. Larry Bird passes out to Ray Allen to hit a three. Like there's just all kinds of stuff like that. And the music for it is incredible. And it's just a phenomenal ad. So I, of course, like binge watched it again today after seeing this MLB ad. So that was my favorite thing of the week, was just like basking in this ad's glory over and over and over again on repeat.
It's too bad they didn't show the old players like smoking cigarettes at halftime or drinking beers at the local bar, or, you know, just like going out to clubs and getting into hijinks because there's nothing else to do. That's great though. Yeah.
I love before the season ads.
Yeah, it's great. It's because like nothing bad has happened yet. And like, they tend to be a little bit more clever and just really upbeat. And it just, you know, you're filled with belief anyway, unless you're a Charlotte fan. Yeah.
Well, and they always play nostalgia well, which is, I'm such a sucker for nostalgia.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Why shouldn't you be? All those people are cool in the past too.
Right.
And they're the ones that the current players measure themselves up against.
Right.
You know, like Westbrook with Oscar Robertson. So it's cool. It's a fun thing to think about, like who would do better now or then. And it's like, yeah, but these dudes, you know, they're taking like regular airplanes to places.
Yeah,
you know, they're getting on buses. Like they're just eating three cheeseburgers and then playing. They're smoking.
I saw this question going around where it was the 62 Dolphins, the undefeated Miami Dolphins, if they could play the 2019 Miami Dolphins, who would win? And it's just like, even though the Miami Dolphins, this year's Miami Dolphins, is like one of the worst teams in NFL history that we'll probably ever see in the NFL, they still would beat the undefeated Miami Dolphins simply just because the players are better, faster, more physical. Like humans have just become better at sports and better physically and better at maintaining and taking care of their bodies. And so you're just, even if you take the worst current NFL team and put them up against the best old NFL team, you're just, it's not going to be a competition.
Do you think this year's Charlotte team could beat MJ's 72 win Bulls team?
Is it MJ's Bulls team, but it's him now currently playing for that team?
Dude, I don't think he could fucking beat like just MJ by himself. I can't tell if this team's going to be bad or fun bad. I hope it's fun bad.
I hope it's fun bad. I hope Scary Terry just becomes a menace.
Yeah. He should just lean in, man. Be the bad boy. Like, let's fuck everybody else
up. Just become what Russell Westbrook was for like the last 5 years, where everyone is just like fighting about whether or not he's good or not.
Dude, and enjoy Charlotte. That's a fucking great town. It's a good basketball town. And the thing is, there's no reason not to just run and be as young and as fast as you possibly can.
Yep.
Try to win some games.
Yep.
The funniest thing in the world that could happen is Charlotte making the playoffs.
Oh my God. Don't even. If that happens, then we officially write a petition to Adam Silver to get rid of conferences, because if the fucking Hornets somehow make it into the Eastern playoffs and the Pelicans do not, I'm quitting the NBA.
It's an idiosyncrasy that everyone understands makes absolutely no sense. Like conference imbalance has been a thing forever. And it, you know, the teams don't even make sense. Obviously, Memphis isn't in the West. Minnesota is in the West. But they just demand having it because the owners want guaranteed playoff games. So yeah, these four shitty teams every year get to host playoff, or not host, but they get playoff games. And it's really just for those four dudes every year. Like, that, the rest of the league should just be like, wait, 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 there's way more of us than there are of them. Like, I don't give a shit about Indiana. Like, what are they to me? Yep. Just get rid of it.
Just get rid of it. Abolish it, Adam Silver. I know you listen to this podcast, so there you go.
Yeah,
abolish
add it. Two more teams, and then just do, you know, 16, regular bracket, 1 through 16.
Perfect. That's the solution. All right, well, there you go. That's the time we've got this week. Make sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts to the Fake Teams Podcast channel, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Whole Nine Yards. We are there. Follow us on Twitter at The Long Two Podcast, and we will be back at you next week to continue our discussion of fantasy basketball as we head into the season. Natty, have yourself a good week.
Do the same, brother. Talk to you next time.